disease, things that never happened in history class. A Descendant fanfic written by Dart Stitch, read by Violeta Ash, including the pairings Dream of the Endless, Morpheus, Hobgoblin, and additional tags for Humor, Fluff and Humor, Islander Immortals, Meteos Cameo, Dream and This One Sensible Love Life Decision, Alternate Universe, Crack Treated Seriously, Shakespeare Quotations, Obi is not a Shakespeare fan, and Obi is absolutely not jealous. This is the first fanfic in the series, History Class Cryptics, aka The Killing Diaries. Summary: Professor Robert Hobgoblin History 101 class is always fully booked each semester. This is why. Author notes: yes, I've read the graphic novels forwards, backwards, sidewards, and upside down. I know exactly how things play out in there. But this is fanfic land, so I crack what I want. And Dream should get to be his charming feral cat disaster self without incurring apocalypses and magnificent tragedies along the way. First, Professor Gadling's History 101. And so you see, Nan Boleyn was no femme fatale home wrecking the happy Tudor household and leading the good King Henry astray. There were snickers in the room. Though it made for some pretty good stories, eh? Always love me a good old-fashioned bodice ripper or that Jonathan Rhys-Meyers on the telly. Is a dish, that one. Professor Gadling leaned a bit forward, a naughty gleam in his eyes. Though the real King Henry was a looker when he was younger. Looked a bit like our Prince Harry, now that I think about it. More laughter, which was typical in Professor Gadling's classes. Iggy Pop, really, that was his name, and yes, his parents loved him dearly, said, like, the dude's got away with bringing all that historical stuff to life. Like, he was totally there. Totally awesome dude. Iggy also had some of the best grades in the class. California surfer, animated Pixar turtle accent at all. But the observation was accurate. And it was also one of the reasons why Professor Gadling's history classes were booked solid every semester. 2. Nevermore. Sometimes there was a raven on Professor Gadling's shoulder. The first time he appeared, he was perched all nice and comfy on the professor's shoulder, looking as calm as you please, fixing the class with his clever, beady black eyes. The professor sighed. No, it's not my familiar. He's babysitting. You mean you're babysitting him, right, professor? The raven squawked in protest. Professor Gadling rolled his eyes. He's the one doing the babysitting. I try not to pick arguments with ravens, you see. Terribly bad idea. Ask old Edgar over at English Lit, class after this, right next door. Nevermore, said the raven, clearly and rolling. The class eventually learned the raven's name was Matthew. 3. There can be only one. There was a persistent rumor that someone once confronted Professor Gadling with an honest-to-God actual sword. Supposedly, this happened in that secluded alleyway created by the old library and the faculty building, the story went. The professor, in a typical fashion, went, nope. There can be only one, declared the sword wielder, raising his weapon. Nope, I'm not that kind of immortal. You don't get to take my head. There's not going to be any ruddy lightning fixing whatever it is you lot call it. I'm not the droid you're looking for. Go off with you. It was a known fact that the professor was actually a good man to have in a fight, having been in a fair number of scrapes himself and quite proficient in introducing Mr. Barstool, Mr. Fist, and Mr. Whatever I can use to break over your damn full head to new acquaintances. He sorted out a few squabbles at a new inn that way, and it was agreed that whatever happened there should stay there, which, of course, meant it would be all over the campus next morning. That being said, the good professor still appreciated having Matthew around to help him drive away the sword wielder. Sword wounds were still painful, and not even 600 years removed from the last time he'd been in a war involving swords was enough to dull that memory. Ugh, Pearson owes me 3 pints for this. 4. Shakespeare in love. There was a rule that got passed down from class to class. For sheer unadulterated entertainment, get Professor Gadling to rant about William Shakespeare. Oh, he wasn't one of those who posited that the bard never wrote his plays. Far from it. He just absolutely had very specific opinions about men. And they were loud, pointed, and absolutely hilarious. This was also good for distracting the professor long enough to get out of any last-minute homework or surprise quizzes. There was hell to pay during the next class, but it was well worth it.
"You are too harsh on your William, sir,"
said the snow-pale young man in black, with a messy, rumpled air. The class wasn't sure how he suddenly appeared in their midst, but it felt like he'd always been there. He looked perfectly grave, absolutely serious, except for the glint of mischief in his dark, hot blue eyes. The professor crossed his arms over his chest, looking sourly at him. He was a ruddy hack. Got a bit lucky, I'd say. The pale young man smiled faintly.
"He had a true gift that just needed a little bit of nudging."
"Sure. Exchanged his soul for artistic immortality. Faustian bargains, deals with the devil."
"No."
The smile was still there, and it was mesmerizing to see, as if this wasn't a man given much to that expression.
"Just 2 plays, commissioned to order. What need have I for men's souls?" "Jealousy does not become you, Ob Gatling."
"Oi! Professor? Should we leave you two alone now? Like, this old lover's quarrel us thing you've got going is kinda cute, but we really don't want to be around for the kiss and makeup part." Of course, it was Iggy Pop who just had to ruin what seemed to be the most interesting moment that had happened so far in Professor Gatling's history classes. Someone raised a hand. "I don't mind being around for the kiss and makeup part." The class will later learn that the young man's name was apparently Murphy. He was also Matthew's boss. 5. Professor Adam Pearson. Professor Robert Gadling and Professor Adam Pearson had a friendly rivalry going on. Okay, so it was less rivalry and more bawdy Elizabethan drinking songs at the new inn, copious amounts of beer, and amazing comic routines during each other's classes, topped off with obscure bits of historical anecdotes and trivia that frequently sent students into hysterics, but it worked. Yes, Professor Pearson did deliver on the 3 pints he owed Professor Gadling. According to the local grapevine, one of this professor's boyfriends spent a long few moments being the green-eyed monster due to a misunderstanding of Shakespearean proportions. Swords and duels atone were apparently involved. It was most certainly not the boyfriend who seemed to be the original Victorian goth boy, with a hard-earned PhD in brooding modeling and was known all over the campus as Murphy. In point of fact, Murphy only spent about 5 short seconds in that deplorable state before he graced Professor Pearson with one of those art-stealing faint smiles and said,
"My sister sends her regards."
Campus history did not record Professor Pearson's reaction to this. 6. Not a cat dad. Look, Professor Gatling was not a pet person. He was not cruel to animals, mind you, but he was not expecting to foster the tiniest little bit of black and white fluff to ever meow at this point in time. The problem was, said Fluff came with some absolutely stellar credentials, that being from the Cat of Dreams.
I spent 600 years not knowing your proper name, you know, sighed Professor Gatling, and suddenly I get to find out you have many of them.
And all of them quite proper, I assure you.
Even Murphy? A sigh.
I have been called that before, so yes.
The kitten, whose proper name was thrilled by the Cat of Dreams, but would therefore be known to humans as Miette, purred contently from her basket. Said basket now served as a paperweight for Gatling's test papers. The rest of the class also waited for his decision with bated breath. It was their fault, the clever little bastards. They'd been the ones to find the kitten and, of course, choose to make their appeal to Murphy. Their long-suffering professor sighed. Gatling's History 101 class would now have a feline mascot. 7. Prince of Stories. Here's the funny thing about Murphy. Sometimes he's just there, sitting in a dark corner, the first person in the classroom. Sometimes the light will catch those dark blue eyes in the strangest way, like the reflection of a star. Dressed all in black, black coat, black shirt, black pants and black boots, with the signature brooding expression on his face, he really should have been the most unapproachable person, to be honest. Except that he isn't. It's remarkably easy to sit next to him, for a bit of a friendly chat, while waiting for class to start. And he has stories to share, if one knows how to listen. So many stories. They linger in your head like fragments of dreams. The best listener in Professor Gatling's class is quiet, shy, soft-spoken little Isabel, who suddenly lit up when Murphy greeted her in her native tongue. And they spent a pleasant 30 minutes chattering away in a mix of Filipino and English, which made her feel less homesick. Professor Gatling almost didn't recognize her when he finally walked in to start the day's lessons. The story that Murphy alone knew was that quiet little Isabel had a rich dream life of her own, ancient scary of the dreaming, populated with the encantos, tikvalangs, mananangals, and other night creatures of her native land. In her dreams, Isabel stood fast against those things that went bump into the night, brave and true. There was a shelf filled in the library of her adventures, and in the waking world, she wrote of them in a little notebook, much battered and loved. Murphy, of course, had a certain fondness for dreamers and storytellers like her. 8. Will versus Kit. So, as you can see, that bloody heck Will Shepherd, Shakespeare, stole all his best lines from Marlowe. Professor Gatling took a breath and quoted, "Where both deliberate, the love is sight. Whoever loved that loved not at first sight." "Isn't it from As You Like It?" ventured one brave soul in the classroom. "Marlowe already wrote it first." There was a discreet crunch of popcorn. Some enterprising person produced two large buckets, and it was now being passed around the classroom. Professor Gatling was too busy enjoying his rant to call it out. And then,
"A heart to love, and in that heart, courage to make loves known."
There is a Filipino word called kili. There is the only word adequate enough to describe the delightful shudders that went down the spines of every romantic-minded soul in the classroom once they heard Murphy softly declaim those lines. In that soft, deep, resonant voice. "Oh, you bastard. Professor Gatling breathed, and then went on with, "Love is not full of pity, as men say, but deaf and cruel where he means to prey.
Dub that the stars are fire, dub that the sun don't move his hates, though true to be a liar, but never doubt I love,"
Murphy responded. And of course, to add insult to injury, he crowned that with one of his rare, faint, heart-stopping smiles. "You absolute pillock! You complete tosser!" And then the good professor growled, "Oh, thou art fairer than the evening air clad in the beauty of a thousand stars. Stop smirking at me, you wanker. That couch now has your name on it. I'm keeping Miette with me." Miette purred loudly,
"For where thou art, there is the world itself. And where thou art not, desolation."
It was quite unfair, really, how well Murphy could deliver that bit of prose as if it was nothing but absolute truth. "Ah," sighed more than one person in the room. "Are you really going to make him sleep on the couch after that, Professor?" Apparently, there was no shortage of courageous folk in Professor Gatling's class. It was never absolutely clear whether Murphy did spend the night on the dreaded couch, as he was not in class the following day. However, Professor Gatling was wearing a conspicuously high turtleneck during that class, with a blush on his cheeks that didn't seem to go away during that day, and he was in a ridiculously good mood. So good that he moved the scheduled exam for the following week. Coincidentally, everyone actually did sleep well the night before. They all had remarkably sweet, pleasant dreams. The end. Footnote the first. Yes, Ob Gatling is aware of the other immortals, especially the ones who like to play with swords. He gives them a wide berth, except, of course, he ended up making friends with one really old guy, who had very good taste in beer, and a really old guy's broody Scottish boyfriend. Footnote the second. The New Inn was a favorite hangout spot by many of Professor Gatling's students. They'd hit upon the winning combination of coffee and tea during the day and various alcoholic drinks in the evening. What surprised everyone was that Murphy showed up there one day and proved that he could brew an amazing cup of coffee. They're not sure why Professor Gatling finds this infinitely hilarious, but hey, good coffee is good coffee. Footnote the third. Yes, Robert Gatling still thinks that Shakespeare is a hack and Christopher Marlowe is the better writer. He's really not jealous and he's had nothing to do with the fact that he had gone all out to impress his pretty, maybe a fairy prince friend at one time, and the ungrateful git spend their one night out of 100 years shutting up that ponce from Stratford. Footnote the fourth. Yes, that was the first time Ob Gatling had thought of his strange friend as pretty. But pretty upgraded itself into beautiful, oh god, what fresh new hell is this? Time they encountered Lady Joanna Constantine. He had 100 years to get over that, but he did get over it. Footnote the fifth. Lately, some of Ob's dreams involve being able to rescue Dream of the Endless from that horrible basement in Fawney Rig. It went without saying that this was obviously a clear expression of "I wish things were different," and "had I only known." His darkness found his fantasy oddly endearing and was quite fond of the inevitable displays of affection he'll be subjected to once he and Hob met up in the waking worlds. Author's notes. Yes, you read that right. I had to rope in Islander for this story. The thought of Matthews and Obgadling as Cleese was just too good to pass up. Reader's notes. This is one of my favorite comfort stories, and when I saw that Darth Stitch had a blanket permission podfic, I had to try. Thank you, and please give kudos to the author. You can find this story at Archive of Our Own, at Darth Stitch, or on my profile, Violeta Ash.